The crackdown on illegal immigration under President Trump has raised the issue of sanctuary once again. Cities, counties, whole states, including Oregon and California, consider themselves sanctuaries, meaning the officers of that jurisdiction will generally not function as substitutes for federal immigration officers. It can get a whole lot more complicated than that. Some cities in our region, including Arcata and Eureka, are considering sanctuary status. Others, including Ashland, already claim that status. So here's a chance to compare some notes. Susan Ornelas is the mayor of Arcata, which is considering the sanctuary status. Susan, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, hi, Jeffrey. Thanks for inviting me.
Sure, good to have you back. David Lohman is in the studio with me. He is the city attorney of Ashland. Thank you for joining us.
Sure, good to be here.
So let's start with Ashland, because this goes back to 2003. What do you know about why the city officially got to this and what the sanctuary position, as Ashland has defined it, means?
Well, it arose in response to the Patriot Act enactment by Congress. The city of Ashland, along with a lot of other cities in the country, felt that some of the provisions of the Patriot Act were overreaching in the sense that they effectively required city police to perform federal enforcement purposes. And that's not allowed under the 10th Amendment to the Constitution.
All right. So can sanctuary city be something of a squishy term legally?
It's very squishy, mm-hmm. and different cities and different states have interpreted it differently. It comes from the notion in medieval England that combatants could go to a church and be free from attack, and it really is not that notion at all. I'd say people on both sides of this issue sort of overestimate what it really means.
Applying that term sanctuary seems to make it a bigger deal than it may actually be legally.
Right. It doesn't really protect undocumented immigrants from enforcement by the federal government. It doesn't really harbor, quote, criminals.
All right, so there's no sense of, like, you know, when you come over the city limits of Ashland, you're safe, nobody's going to chase you anymore. It is not like that.
No, it's much more complicated than that.
So, Susan Ornelas, has Arcata considered something like sanctuary status before?
Yes, Arcata did have a conversation about it in the early 90s with the Iraq War. And it became kind of politicized, so it caused sort of a social unrest, I'd say. But it didn't really go into policy, written policy. It went into sort of a culture, I would say, of the police department, where they didn't take people in just for being undocumented. They had to also have been committing a crime. So that's how it's been in Arcata since, and we plan to have a discussion about Sanctuary City on April 5th. But so it's been basically there's kind of a cultural policy, one might say, that we don't turn people in just for being undocumented. But our actual written policies didn't actually match that. So we're looking at that now and kind of realizing that we want to clean that up so that they match each other.
Okay, so it's like a way we do things, but it's not like a written down, this is how we do things.
Right, and that's been going on for 20 years or so. We're discussing it now. What is the meaning of Sanctuary City? I thought David's, discussion that it's kind of undefined to some degree. It's interpreted, differently, and I think people do hang a lot of emotion on that word sanctuary that may or may not be there, as he was saying, kind of on both sides.
So are you hearing a lot of pressure from the community to define yourselves as a sanctuary city?
Yeah, there's definitely some people who feel that the terminology is really important. And the main reason they're holding that up is that then we're standing kind of like, in brotherhood with all these other cities.
Okay.
So that's the kind of the main push on the outside. And then the push from staff and from other citizens is that the city of Arcata is, we're not like San Francisco. We don't have the funds that we could go on easily without the feds if we don't need, And we have a fair amount of federal funding. And, you know, we are aware that there has to be a nexus for federal funding to be pulled, but we're also just wary to even get into that argument, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like I've been kind of saying, it's a little like taunting a bully to put that, you know, make sure we loudly proclaim the word sanctuary. So, you know, what we've done is we did, like many other cities did, sort of a statement of our community values. Mm-hmm. We did that in January, but that didn't seem to satisfy people enough. And then it was during that time that I realized that our policy, written policy, didn't quite match our sort of understood policy. So we've been cleaning some of that up. And along with doing that, I came across Senate Bill 54, which I don't know if you're aware of that, in the state of California. It's basically trying to declare for the whole state of California sanctuary status, but that terminology is not used,
okay.
The word sanctuary.
We're talking about sanctuary status for cities in this conversation. Susan Ornelas is the mayor of Arcata. David Lohman is the Ashland city attorney. You can join the discussion on the exchange at 800-838-3760 over the phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. This idea of threatening federal funding came out with some of the responses to the first Trump administration executive order on immigration, the so-called travel ban. And I think it was at that point that David Lohman, the mayor of Ashland asked you to take a look at what the possible effect on Ashland could be. What did you find out in terms of federal funds and what any potential risks might have been?
Well, as the mayor just said, there might be a risk that the administration would try to assert the ability to withhold federal funds. There is a fairly recent case where actually, it involved the Obamacare, where the Supreme Court said that the federal government could not condition getting federal funds on having the cities do something that they're not otherwise required to do. So I feel fairly secure in the notion that they're not going to be able to withhold federal funds, although that doesn't mean one might not try and we might not end up in some kind of litigation to resolve that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with David's take. And you get a little sense of security that, you know, it has been shown in court cases that there has to be a nexus between the funding source and the, you know, what the action is. But it's just, I just feel like with this particular president, you know, who's, you know, tweeting at 4 a.m, I just feel like getting involved in a lawsuit there is kind of overwhelming for a small town like us to consider. But, you know, I'm not sure what decision we'll make. We're just looking. We finally got funded to do this trail, this fabulous trail that's going to be going around the bay. We've been working on that for 20 years. We finally got federal funding for it. And so there's a part of me that feels like, you know, responsibility to our citizens. Like, you know, what really matters the most? Which is the most important thing for us to do? So I that's what I'm weighing.
Susan, have you had city staff take it out to full dollars and cents? Any idea what's out there right now that if it were whisked away would have an impact on Arcata?
Well, it's not completed yet because I was talking to our city manager yesterday and she gave me the draft of the report for April 5th. But there's millions of dollars. Just that trail fund I was talking about is $3.1 million. And that's, you know, set to be built this summer. But, you know, it's reimbursed, so it's mm-hmm. not like we have the funding. So we would just, you know, hate to get into some kind of litigation about that.
Sure. Okay, so millions for Arcata. And then what kind of numbers did you come up with for the city of Ashland, David?
Well, it really depends on how you calculate it. We get some direct federal funding. We've gotten some federal funding for our forest resiliency project. We also get funding indirectly, for instance, through the Metropolitan Planning Organization for the Rogue Valley, where they get transportation money directly from the federal government, and then it's sub-allocated according to need throughout the Rogue Valley. Well, would that be affected?
Sounds like a blizzard of accountants and attorneys if anybody decided to go.
It's very hard to figure out even what the presidential order means in terms of cutting off federal funding.
Now, in terms of grant money, too, like what Susan is talking about, isn't there some grant money that came in through the Ashland Forest Resiliency Project as
well? Yeah, that's what I mean. Mm-hmm. And some of that has come to the city directly. Some of it has come to the Forest Service. And then they work with the city of Ashland. And so it's very hard to determine what that order from the president's office really means.
It just really is. And so, I mean, that's why when Senate Bill 54 came out, which is kind of really trying to define this for the whole state of California, that's something I can really, you know, get behind easier, because I feel like, you know, putting our little city's head up in like a whack-a-mole kind of game is what it almost feels like, you know? And I just feel like, does that make sense? But, you know, the whole state of California, you feel like you're standing there with a lot of strength. So I don't know
that sounds like
what
that would
we'll
be a
decide.
Bit of a...
I mean, because I don't want to say that the city of Arcata feels weak, but we just recognize that, you know, we don't know exactly what it means, as David just said, and it's difficult to try to make decisions, you know, and we just don't want to get involved in a lawsuit that puts off funding for 3 years. And the one funding source that we thought maybe, you know, you could even say there is a nexus, we get community-oriented police services funding through the feds. And that's an important funding for us. And so there's a part of me even, and then we also get CDBG funding, Community Development Block Grant funding, you know, for affordable housing and things like that. And so there's a part of me that's like, so do we risk this? We might end up having a less safe town if we don't have that police service funding, if we don't have affordable housing funding, things like that, you know? So that's what I'm weighing.
David Lohman, talk about police operations now in the city of Ashland. I gather from the analysis that that you were asked to prepare for the mayor that the city is not out of compliance with a key federal statute, 8 U.S.C. 1373.
Well, the 8 U.S.C. 1373 is what the presidential order refers to, and it basically says they're going to take some sort of enforcement action against cities that aren't in compliance with that federal statute. That's really part of the Patriot Act. And that required cities to respond when Immigration and Customs Enforcement asks them to do certain things. For instance, to detain somebody who is scheduled to be let out of jail, has served his or her time. ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, might call and say, we want you to detain this person, even though they've served their time. And under that federal statute, you know, the persons operating the jail are supposed to comply with that request.
But then you don't operate a jail in the city of Ashland.
And we don't operate a jail, so it doesn't even apply to us.
Right.
There's another example you give, though, David, about if the court issues an arrest warrant, the city would share that information?
Yes. If somebody's been subject to a warrant issued by a judge or, for instance, has been found guilty already but is on the loose, then all law enforcement is required to respond to that. To that warrant and help arrest the person if they can find them. That's a different situation. That's true for all, you know, all law enforcement across the country. They help each, you know, different jurisdictions help each other if there's been a judicial determination that the person needs to be held.
Which is different from a law enforcement determination.
Well, it's different from ICE's, from immigration, just suspecting that somebody might be an undocumented alien.
Okay. Our listeners can certainly see why sanctuary city status gets rather complicated and with a bunch of legal terms in here. David Lohman's the Ashland City Attorney. Susan Ornelas is the mayor of Arcata. Susan, sounds like you want to add something in here.
Well, I just wanted to support that because that's something our police have been very careful to, you know, state to the citizens is that if someone's breaking the law, we're going to turn them in. You know, we have some drug trafficking and there's even some prostitution that gets, you know, happens in our city. And it is often associated, there can be associations with illegal immigration situations. So that does, people do get turned in for that. We're not just harboring criminals. We're just trying to not, you know, harass good citizens. I mean, they're not even citizens, to tell you the truth. But okay, and we don't even have that many illegal immigrants in our town, but we have some, and most of them are great people. And so we're not trying to break up families. We're not trying to just take people down just because of their immigration status. But it is important to note that we're not harboring we're not even talking about harboring criminals, and we support our police in taking people in who are breaking the law.
Susan, do you have an idea of the preference among the city council members right now, whether you'd want to go for a full-blown ordinance, whether it be sort of a resolution, statement of intent, that kind of thing?
Well, you know, I'm really not sure because it was about a 50 room. Right now we only have 4 people on the council because one of our city council members stepped down. So it was kind of a 2-2 the last discussion we had in January when we were doing a statement of community values. So I'm not sure what people have been thinking, reading, being talked to, you know, deciding on. So we'll just see. And our staff is putting all of that forward to us. This is an ordinance. This is supporting Senate Bill 54. This is a resolution. Mm-hmm. What are you thinking? So
right. So that's April 5th, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, in the city of Ashland, David Lohman, in the 14 years since the city declared sanctuary status, has there ever been a use of that status, specific use that anybody can point to?
I didn't ask our police chief that question directly. I asked him if this is much of an issue in Ashland, and he said no. He's been on the job as police chief for a couple of years now, and he said he's not aware of any issues like that coming up.
All right, and Susan had mentioned that there are some, she thinks there's some illegal immigrants living or people with undocumented status living in Arcata. Any idea what the numbers might be in Ashland? And
I really don't know. We don't keep track of that. There's no particular reason to do so.
Okay. So any further discussion coming up within Ashland other than, first of all, have you had a chance to look at the most recent travel ban, the different version of it that the Trump administration put out last week?
Well, just what I've read in the media. And of course, that's the travel ban is really different from this sanctuary city issue. It's easy to get them confused, but
all right, yeah, lots of legal stuff to wade through here, but interesting to look at Ashland having had sanctuary status since 2003 and the city of Arcata talking about it. The council meeting is what time on April 5th, Susan?
6 p.m. is our meeting time.
Okay, Susan Arnelis is the mayor of Arcata. David Lohman, the Ashland city attorney, thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.